To True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full service rare coin and precious metals broker dealer depository service. We've been in business for a couple decades, and we're planning on being in business for quite a while longer. So if you're looking for a place to do business and you want to be wise and smart and do the right thing, we are a great choice. I would like to believe we are the best choice. And as a matter of fact, I've got a little thing I wrote up here for another, venue. How about that? That I probably should go over. Hey, simplicity. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044. How about 509 area code for Spokane? 509-444-0044. Toll free 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. That's a mouthful. 877-827-2646. But remember, 877-TAP, T-A-P, COIN, C-O-I-N. We don't spell on our phones anymore. Remember when we used to spell everything on our phone? I don't know how it's getting anymore. I think you talk into your phone now, but you can't talk. I don't think you can say 1-877-TAP-COIN. I think your phone, if you go Siri, I'd like to call 1-877-TAP-COIN. Siri's going to go, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're talking about, but I think you might need a doctor. And so it may not be the way of the future, and I hate the huge technological changes that we exist in now. They're not making me too happy. It's making my life a tougher, and it's probably making yours too. I love these people that email you, and literally like 13 seconds later, they're calling up going, didn't you get my email? And I'm like, look, man, I don't sit at a desk all day. I actually wish I did kind of more because wouldn't you think a coin dealer, I'd be sitting a lot. Ain't the case, boys and girls. I do not sit at a desk nearly enough. In fact, my desk's kind of a mess. This business creates an absolute, complete, and total pig pen because we buy so much stuff, and I cannot train my people to only buy stuff that is relevant. Do you understand what I mean? Maybe you do, maybe you do not. But the bottom line is, people come in with everything. And my employees buy everything minus 0.01%. And, you know, there's all kinds of brass metals and all kinds of junk out. There's some, you know, novelty, nifty, whatever stuff. And, you know, it's cool, right? But it's not what we do, and in a way they've kind of buried me. Yeah, so I've got a problem, and I've got the need for somebody who knows coins really, really good to help me clean it up, but I can't find anybody that knows coins that good to help me clean it up. But you know how that goes. So anyway, I was just flip-flopping through this old Glenn Beck book. Remember when Glenn Beck was the hot shot on Fox? He hit it big, and, you know, then he had interesting. You know, this is so not what I was. What is this? I'm reading this. Rousseau's Error. I'm reading his book. It says, first, there is equality before the law. This means that every man's case is tried by the same law governing any particular case. Practically, it means that there are no different laws for different classes and orders of men. This is America, by the way, folks. Praise God, right? Practically, it means there are no different laws for different classes and orders of men as there were in ancient times. Wow, did I know that? I did not know that in ancient times there were. He actually, he may cover that in a page or two before, let me check. This is not what the show is about. He says, the founders wrote in the Declaration of Independence, some truths are self-evident, and one of these is the fact that all men are created equal. Yet everyone knows that no two human beings are exactly alike in any respect. So I know where he's going. He's going to the fact that we're equal in rights, not equal in ability. That's why there's called the parable of talents. God put that in there. You know, you think about the parable of talents. God put that in there for a couple reasons. Number one, when you're in America and we say we have equal rights, the parable of talents is necessary to explain that doesn't mean we have equal ability. We guarantee equal rights, but we do not guarantee equal outcomes. Do you understand that? I sure hope you do. And so on I go. Yet everyone knows that no two human beings are exactly alike in any respect. They're different when they're born. They plainly exhibit different natural skills. They acquire different tastes. They develop along different lines. They vary in physical strength, mental capacity, emotional stability, inherited social status, in their opportunities for self-fulfillment, and in scores of other ways. Then how can they be equal? The answer is they can't, except in three ways. They can only be treated as equals in the sight of God, in the sight of the law, and in the protection of their rights. So when it says all men are created equal, what it means is that we have equal rights in the sight of God, we have equal rights in the sight of the law, and in the protection of our rights. In these three ways, all men are created equal. And it is the task of society, which is not always the case. And isn't it interesting that the really bad societies that go communism are the ones that just devastate their own people, kill masses of their own people. Hundreds of millions of people, they say, have died at the hands of socialism, you know, socialism, Karl Marx. I hope, and this sounds mean, forgive me, but I hope he's held accountable by God that, you know, basically we are not judged. I heard a pastor say one time, you know, that we are not judged until everything is finished, okay? And the reason is the fact that we have consequences of action, okay? Our action, what I do to you, okay, is going to may affect what you do to the next guy and what they do to the next guy, et cetera, and so on. The way you raise your kids is going to affect the way they raise their kids and the way they raise their kids, right? And think of the compounding manner of that. The fact that it is, you know, what would you call it? I don't know, like a domino effect, okay? So the Bible tells us that, you know, the judgment takes place when all things are finally wrapped up. And I think that's important to understand because we, you know, some of the bad things we do, you think of some of the hideously horrible, rotten, wretched, terrible things people do, and you're like, you know, are they really judged? Now, think about this. Yeah, what about these deathbed conversions? Okay, well, you know, if the actions of a man affect the future of men forever until God's end comes, are they forgiven on that deathbed? I mean, are they? Are they held accountable? I don't know, folks. I mean, I'm talking about bad things, okay? I have a friend who was very, you know, I hate to even say the term, but he was sexually molested by his own father. Ugh, I'm sorry. It just really gets to me. And it's affected him. All of the, quote, symptoms, including unreasonable fears, etc., are there. Now, his dad, you know, supposedly repented and all this stuff, but is he forgiven? I don't know. It's not up to us, thank God, right? Otherwise, people are like, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? What if God did this? You know, why does God allow these hurricanes that kill 250,000 people or like the tsunamis in Indonesia? Well, you can go multiple ways. It can be nature. You can say things happen. It can be because they're heavily Muslim-based countries. There's theory upon theory upon theory. The rocks cry out. What causes a tsunami? The rocks crying out. An earthquake under the ocean. A huge plate, a tectonic plate shift. That, you know, maybe a plate at the bottom of the ocean drops, you know, 20 feet, and then it cuts a line in the water, and then now you got a wall that just keeps on going until it hits land somewhere, and you just hope you're not there. So anyway, we're all created equal and with equal rights, not equal abilities or equal outcomes. So I think is important to understand. So he talks about that, it's the task of society as it is with God to accept people in all their vast array of individual differences. By the way, side note, I love people, love you. I love every one of you. I love people. I enjoy them. I love to talk with people. I was talking with a guy recently and he said, what are your two greatest loves? I said, coins and people. I love people. My wife, she gets so mad at me sometimes. I mean, we'll go to certain functions and I just get chatting and chatting and chatting and I don't, I don't always shut up like maybe I should. A lot of you probably think that I'm the type that would sit and get caught up in political debates. I don't. I actually try to avoid them. I realize they do no good. People do not come to the Lord, which is the ultimate goal. People do not come to the Lord via the loss of a debate. And so a lot of that is throwing what Jesus called pearls to swine. Please lodge that phrase in your brain, pearls to swine. Do not let yourself fall prey to casting pearls to swine. What that means, obviously, you know, pearls are to them, pearls were like, wow, right? Well, pearls now, they, you know, some have really good value, some don't. But the point is, you can sit there and you can read wisdom, the book of wisdom, and that sort of thing, right? All the time, you can read that stuff and you can become incredibly wise. And, you know, like in Matthew 7, so you have all this wisdom to offer somebody. And, you know, and Jesus in Matthew 7, I think it is, he's like, how do you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? That's where that is, you know, the logs in your own. When he says, whatever, oh, man, it's, I don't have it memorized, but why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye but don't notice the log that's in your own eye? That's Matthew 7, right? And he says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? And then he talks about, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye, right? Think about this. He says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly this how to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, you got problems. And if you deal with those problems appropriately, somehow it is going to give you the wisdom and the gentleness and the fruits of the Spirit and the ability to, you know, with kindness and gentleness and love and joy and peace and all that to help to bring your brother to Jesus or to help them to become better people, right? But then he does the you're a hypocrite, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then he jumps from that. Now think about it. He's talking about, you know, giving wisdom to people. He's saying, don't, you know, realize that you've got tons of sin. You got plenty to deal with on your own. Just be careful that you're not running around judging everybody. And then he says, do not give what is holy to dogs. And do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Wow. That's heavy stuff, right? Don't give what is holy to dogs. I like dogs, so I'm not sure I understand that one, but I do. They had dogs running. A lot of these countries have wild dogs everywhere and whatnot, but he's saying, you know, don't give what God gave you that's holy. Maybe really great wisdom, super insight, a really deep understanding of the Bible or some special, you know, whatever. Don't give it to sinner, to just to the vile sinner who's going to spit on you essentially and just throw it right back at you and will never respond. Now, we look at it and we say, but how do we know? How is it our responsibility to say who's going to respond and who's not? Well, there's truth to that, but that is only when sharing the gospel, that question that I just asked, not, you know, sharing necessarily the wisdom of, I call it like the wisdom of Solomon or Proverbs, because, well, you know, wisdom, God created wisdom. I talked about that in the recent show, but wisdom comes from God, and he's saying, don't waste your time arguing and debating with fools who are never, ever, ever going to stop. We've got this AOC, you know, whatever her name is, Cortez, and we've got Bernie Sanders. I mean, look at who we've got running for president on the Democratic side, folks. We've got the most radical socialists you've ever, ever seen in this country, ever. And there's and the college kids, they're gobbling this stuff up. They are absolutely gobbling this stuff up. They absolutely love it. They have this idealistic free society, free money. They don't even know where money comes from. Why? Because back in the 90s, I'll never forget, I have an extensive education in economics. And a very good friend of mine who was on the Consumer Price Index Board quit for ethical reasons, and he said they had created what's called new economics during the dot-com craze. And I'm looking at him like, new economics, what do you mean? And he goes, it's theory. He goes, because what's happening with the dot-com craze is not true economics. It's not true supply and demand. In fact, what's going on, and he nailed it right on the head, he said they're all cooking the books. They're cooking the books to show a 10% per year gain to give their shareholders these beautiful returns. They compete one with another, and then we end up with Enron. Boom! The number one stock in the history of the world turns out to be a total and complete phony fraud. The Ken Lay, the CEO, now think about this. This guy's worth gazillions. He, you know, ends up being found dead the night before he goes to trial in his pool at his home. They said that they, I don't know how they ID'd him. I could do research, but I don't believe it. I think that he, you know, did whatever he did to make the cadaver look legit, or maybe I think maybe they did some kind of dental records and he had never been fingerprinted, because most of us who have not been to prison or jail have not been fingerprinted. If you have ever been arrested, you have been fingerprinted, but if you haven't, you have not, and maybe he had not. And it's not uncommon. There are stories of extraordinarily wealthy people having plastic surgeons do plastic surgery on their faces while they're flying far, far away to a third world country in wherever, Brazil or whatever. They show up, they're a completely different person. They go into hiding for a few weeks. Somebody, you know, they use their money. Somebody who specializes in it gets them a place to stay while they heal up. takes care of them, gets them food. Once they're healed, they go out. They get a new name, a new identification, and then they're living on, you know, the $1 billion that they got. And what do they probably keep the $1 billion in? Gold, of course, because it's untraceable, untrackable, no serial numbers, etc. After that, it was time to start tearing into the other companies on Wall Street who were also cooking the books. There was over 100 the IRS was examining, and when World Trade Center building number 7 dropped 10 hours after the rest, it was pretty obvious that they intentionally blew the building up, because Donald Rumsfeld had also come out and said, hey, by the way, we're missing the Department of Defense is missing $2.4 trillion. We can't find it. Don't know where it is. But we're going to look really hard. We promise. We promise we're going to look so hard. Well, guess where they had to look? Two places. World Trade Center building number 7, where the IRS and everybody else was housed. And in the Pentagon, and which happened to be the new area that of the Pentagon that they had just absolutely finished remodeling. The hole in the Pentagon, going all the way back to 9/11, I know, you know, nostalgia, right? The hole in the Pentagon is impossible for a 757 or 747 to make. It's way too close to the ground. It's like a puncture hole. You look at the pictures of the building. There's no room for the wings. There wasn't any parts. Well, there was just a few parts scattered. And they said for sure those parts came from like the wreck, from a wreck from like 1992 or 4 of like some Continental Airline plane. Wasn't even the same kind of plane. And it just, everything stinks. There wasn't one dead person, one dead body found. No one ever witnessed anybody ever removing dead bodies from the building. I think you get the picture. So they had, so people with a lot of money, when you get hundreds of corporations together, and they are all worth billions and billions of dollars, guess what they have the power to do? It's called whatever they want. And that, my friends, is what I think took place post 9/11, is they did whatever they wanted. And so, you know, how we got on that, I don't know. But you know me, Mr. Tangent, some people are like, wow, this guy's cuckoo. But that's okay. So we were talking about you don't throw your pearls to swine, okay? I mean, it's okay sometimes to just talk to people. And everybody in America isn't either Democrat or Republican. That is what they're doing to us. They're splitting us down the middle. They're putting us into subcategories. You know, males against females, blacks against whites, or, you know, Hispanics against non-Hispanics. You know, they're putting Democrats against Republicans, and now Democrats are becoming socialists, and they're putting the working class against the bosses, and, you know, I can't think of all of the divisions that they're creating off the top of my head, but I can tell you, wow, it's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy, and it's too much, and it's not good, and it's destroying this country from the inside out. We're rotting from the inside out. I remember a college sociology professor who said, this country will not be destroyed from the outside. We will destroy ourselves from the inside. And so we were talking a minute ago about equal rights. Where it talked about, as members of society, all persons should have their equality guaranteed in two areas. Well, I can back up a little bit. So it's three ways all men are created equal, which is the task of society as it is with God to accept people in all our vast array of individual differences, but treat them as equals when it comes to their role as human beings, in other words, our rights. As members of society, all persons should have their equality guaranteed in two distinct guaranteed areas. I said guaranteed twice, assured, whatever. The constitutional writer Clarence Carson describes them. First, there is equality before the law, which I started the show talking about, which means that every man's case is tried by the same law governing in particular case. Practically, it means that there are no different laws for different classes and orders of men as there were in ancient times. Think about that. People were tried completely differently based on their classes. Now, you think about it. A woman used to be the equivalent of, what, one quarter of a person? So if she was raped, she had to have 8 witnesses or some, or there, I don't even remember the specifics, but she'd have to have 8 female witnesses to equal 1 witness, and it required 2 witnesses. So she'd have to have 16 female witnesses to prove she was raped. It was a bad time. It was just a real bad time in society. So we've got equality before the law, which in America, everyone's equal. We're seeing that abused a lot now with people making false accusations, which is what the 4th commandment, something like that, to, you know, falsely accuse. That's a sin. I mean, that's one of the 10 commandments is thou shalt not, you know, falsely accuse or whatever. It's bad. Don't do it. I learned a lot about it by dealing with certain people in different situations, and I don't like it. It's bad. It hurts people. It hurts you. It's just not a good situation. So when this Clarence Carson says there's equality before the law, he means that every man's case has to be tried by the same law governing every particular case, which practically it means that there are no different laws for different classes and orders of men as there were in ancient times. The definition of premeditated murder is the same for the millionaire as for the tramp. A corollary of this is that there are no classes and that are created or recognized by law. We go to India, and what do we got? The caste system, C-A-S-T-E. If you don't know what that means, we go all the way from the untouchables to the elite, and they can't intermix, they can't intermarry. They have a group. Can you imagine being called the untouchables, being born into this category of people that their religion says are untouchables? Why? Because if you're born to an untouchable, you're an untouchable. Why? Again, I'll ask. It's because of reincarnation. You are born again and again and again based on your sin or how well you lived your life. So if you're born a king, that means that somewhere along the way you lived a really fantastic life. People buy this garbage, and it changes the way they behave and live their lives, okay? The second way that as members of society we should all have our equality guaranteed is the declaration referring to equality of rights. Each man is equally entitled to his life with every other man. Each man has an equal title to God-given liberties with every other. So that's the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And then we've got John Adams, who I like a lot, was in France. He was the ambassador to France when Jean-Jacques Rousseau was teaching that all men were designed to be equal in every way. John Adams then wrote that all men are born to equal rights. He says, I'll just quote him. It says, that all men are born to equal rights is true. Every being has a right to his own, as clear or as moral, as sacred as any other being has. But to teach that all men are born with equal powers and faculties, to equal influence in society, to equal property and advantages through life is as gross a fraud as glaring an imposition on the credulity of the people as ever was practiced by monks, by druids, by Brahmins, by priests of the immortal Lama, or by the self-styled philosophers of the French Revolution. So he says basically anybody who tries to say we're all equal, you know, he said there, you know, is basically as foolish as the monks, the druids, the Brahmins, the priests of the Lama, Dalai Lama type thing, which, you know, they're saying we're all equally nothing. And their desire is to become blank, empty, nothing, vessels of nothingness. Does that sound appealing to you? Not to me. So what does it mean to have equal rights? I'll get there and we'll move on. It means the goal of society is to provide equal justice, which means protecting the rights of the people equally. Now, we're starting to see a lot of problems with our law enforcement. We've got racial profiling, whether you like it or not, it's true. But then again, folks, we've got things like people, you know, I hate to admit it, but, you know, God made us this way to a degree, all right? And here's what I mean. Not the racial profiling, but the way you dress, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you act. There are so many groups of thugs that dress, you know, with huge baggy pants hanging down so low, you know, they can't even, you know, they're pulling them up. As they're running around, I mean, I just can't stand it. They wear these $2 baseball caps with flat rims totally to the side. It reminds me of, you know, way back, I'm an old bugger, so I used to have a very few cartoons to choose from. One of them was Fat Albert, and they used to be, you know, kind of the gangster. No, not gangster. It was the ghetto. It was the tough part of town, right? These guys came from. But they were good. They were good people that just were poor. That is what the cartoon was all about. But these people, now we've gone to the tattoo thing. Now, everybody's got to have a tattoo or two or three or 10 or 1,000. I don't know. I've got, you know, I know people with tattoos from their ankles to their wrists to their neck. I'm not a big fan of them. That's me. I have no tattoos, never desired to. It's kind of weird because God did make us a certain way. He made us to look a certain way, right? I mean, he probably did an okay job of making a beautiful human being. You know, and then people, you know, I'll get a whole lot into the details of tattoos and where people have them and things like that. But I will tell you, there is definitely differences in where people put them and how they put them there and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's discreet. If at all possible, I suppose, some symmetry. I don't know. I don't like tattoos a lot. And if I'm offending you, I apologize. It's just not my thing. Never was. And, boy, some people love them. Man, do they love them. I do know a girl who was cooked out on meth or some kind of drug, and maybe coke or crack or whatever, and her friend died from it, and she got this huge tattoo down her whole arm of her friend, and it's like, and she's supposedly a believer, or at least was for a while. It's like, why don't you glorify God? Why don't you get one of God? But, you know, that's not my business. So what does it mean to have equal rights? The goal of society is to provide equal justice, which means protecting the rights of people equally. At the bar of justice, to secure their rights. At the ballot box, to vote for the candidate of their choice. At public school, to obtain an equal education. Okay? At the employment office, to compete for a job based on their abilities, not on, you know, their race or skin color or, like I said, tattoos or whatever. However, the truth is, if you're looking for a job, dress up when you go. Look good. You know, dress the part. You want to look better. I know a guy who was, I know two guys, I'm sorry, I know three guys that worked their way to become CEOs of huge companies. One of a hospital, one of a bank, and one of a Fortune 150 real estate merger and acquisition company. Each one of them started out, all three of them started out sweeping sidewalks, doing all the dirty work, emptying garbages. Why? Because they had work ethic. And they all worked for companies. They all started with companies when the companies were small too. You know, and you'll get people that'll say, oh, your infrastructure, you know, you're not a big company. I want to work for a big company. You know, Well, we just talked about 9/11 and what happened after that. And Arthur Andreessen, the largest accounting firm in the world, went down hard with that whole situation. Hard, right? I mean, they went down hard. And the number one tax company in the world, 260,000 employees, went down for cooking the books. But, you know, and that came out post 9/11 as well. So, you know, I think in general, we have to realize that you want to live with ethics. You want to live your life fair and true, and not buy into the elitist system abuse or whatever you want to call it. So public schools, we talked about education. Employment office, that's where I was kind of talking. I almost went to work for Arthur Andreessen as an actuary when I got out of college. At the real estate agency, to purchase or rent a home, there should not be discrimination based on your color. You should be equal rights. Color, you know, creed, religion, so on and so forth. I'm a Christian, okay? It's not my job to discriminate against non-Christians. However, I have every right to disagree with them and tell you I disagree with them and why I disagree with them. And the one religion that I really, 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 really disagree with is Islam, because when you get deep into the Quran, which I've done in the, I think it's the Hadith or whatever their other books are, it's dirty stuff. It's nasty stuff. So we also have equal rights in this country at the pulpit. Okay, well, let's say the real estate agency to purchase or rent a home. We discussed that. And we talked about at the pulpit to enjoy freedom of religion. We have equal rights at the podium, especially to enjoy freedom of speech, to say whatever we want within reason. What do I mean within reason? You've all heard you can't cry fire in a theater. It causes problems. There's laws against that kind of speech. There's also laws, there have been historically laws of indecency, of vulgar, foul, filthy, what's the law? Not disturbing the peace, disorderly conduct, whatever. People don't have to be exposed to, you know. Now the debate is a dirty word to you, a dirty word to me, and we know what's wrong and we know what's right. Well, the problem, what it used to be based on was what the Bible said. Well, now we're casting that out. We've got these caravans of immigrants pouring in. I saw pictures of trainloads just pouring in the border, far more than were coming under Obama. Why? Because the left is fighting Trump and making darn sure that he can't stop these people. Why do they want this? They're bankrupting our nation, folks, period. Hyperinflation is at its most extreme rise. That's why our employment numbers are up so high. That's why it's going on. And we've got all these new people pouring in the country. They're getting on welfare immediately, et cetera, and so on. So it's super important that you understand hyperinflation is threatening your income, and it's important that you protect yourself from that. So other equal rights, at the microphone or, they say before the TV camera to present views on the issues of the day. At the meeting hall, to peaceably assemble, to get together with people of equal beliefs, no matter what those beliefs are, unless they are designed to incite violence against others or the government. We can do whatever we want as long as we're not threatening the freedoms of others, and that includes violence especially. At the print shop, to enjoy the freedom of the press. At the store, to buy the essential and desirable things of the life. You know, there's so many stores that never used to let blacks in. That was wrong. At the bank, of course, to save and prosper. They used to keep blacks out of the banks. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the way it was, you know. the tax collector's office to pay no more than their fair share, which used has been a problem throughout history. The taxes have been a problem throughout history. Our country was formed on one system where direct taxation was strictly anti-constitutional. That means you're being taxed for your ability to earn a living. Wrong. It's slavery. You are to be taxed for consumption, not for your God-given rights and abilities to earn an income. At the probate court, to pass on to your heirs the fruits of life's labor. Now, that's one that's really being tested right now by the left. That's part of socialism. They want to strip away all your rights and all your riches, all your wealth, all your goodness. It's not good. So we are now facing, because of, well, and don't take this wrong, but partially because of Trump, we've got socialism on the rise, rampant, just going crazy, okay? Now, socialism is running crazy. This is the next election. We've got, you know, the beliefs of Bernie Sanders against all these socialistic beliefs. I mean, it's they want to turn America into socialism. Can you imagine the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution? I mean, what do we need to stop this? You know, a war, a terrible war. I don't want it. I'm not calling for it. I'm just telling you, that's the only way I can even imagine people waking up. It is sick. It is sick and sad. I don't care if you have socialistic philosophical beliefs. It's contrary to the Constitution. Our founders built a Christian-based nation. Right now, we've got caravans of immigrants coming in that are doing nothing. They don't have to do anything to become citizens, nothing. They just walk on our soil. They badmouth this country as they take from it. They don't share in our Judeo-Christian belief system. It's a scary thing. It's where we're at, and they're pouring in at numbers you cannot even fathom. They are literally draining the lifeblood out of our system, okay? Now, with this going on, just to simplify without, you know, I've got all kinds of different things around me here to talk about. You know, we've got hyperinflation, okay? We hear a lot about inflation, but we don't hear enough. But inflation is an increase in the amount of currency, right? Inflation does not mean rising prices, as government leaders and the mass media always try to tell us it means. The condition of rising prices is only the effect or symptom of inflation. Increase the amount of any substance and its value will be lessened. If diamonds suddenly become as plentiful as pebbles on a beach, would a man give one to the woman he intends to marry? No. Well, even in Israel, it said that silver became as common as stones, because Solomon was the richest man ever, and he had so much wisdom, and he went out and he mined so much of it. So the inflation in silver, the increase in silver supply, made it worthless at that time. It'd be fun to go back there, wouldn't it? The steady increase in the number of dollars is causing all dollars to lose value. You don't realize it, but you're losing spending power like you can't believe. Watch real estate, folks. Look at your house and then go see what houses like it have done over the last few years, the steady increase in the number of dollars causes every dollar to lose value, which leads to rising prices. Saying inflation is rising prices is like saying wet streets cause rain. The wet streets are the result of the rain. The rising prices are the result of inflation. Consider a man inherited $10,000 in crisp $100 bills in 1950, a veritable fortune at the time. For whatever reason, he stuffed the bills in, you know, he hid them. We see this all the time. They pull, you know, 50 years later, 60 years later, we see this all the time. They decide to spend this windfall, and then they find that its purchasing power is less than, you know, a tenth of what it was when they inherited it. What they he could have, you know, this man could have bought. I just ran into the situation. That's why I'm talking about it. But this man could have bought a beautiful home in 1950 with his money, with his $10,000. Now his family can barely make, could barely pay for his funeral. They could barely make a down payment on a nice home. Where'd the value of the windfall go? It was stolen from him, them, through a watering down of a currency's value, which was accomplished by putting more and more of it into circulation. Suppose instead that this, you know, is, that he'd converted his $10,000 to gold coins and held on to them. 50 years later, the value of this inheritance would not have changed in as far as its spending power goes, and would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's currency. I want to repeat that. If that man who inherited that wealth would have bought gold, the spending power would have remained essentially the same. But today, it would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we shouldn't necessarily blame the grocer who has to boost his prices or the landlord who raises the rent. We shouldn't be, you know, quick to demonize the employer who, because his dollars are losing value, can't give larger raises and hire additional help. Before the ongoing wave of bailouts, the U.S. was already borrowing approximately $2 billion every single day to finance operations for which it has no money, a figure which continues to climb and soar. You know, I mean, I don't know what it is today, but I think it's about $10 billion a day. $10 billion a day. Some borrowing is arranged from foreign governments. Some from government shortfall is addressed by overworked printing presses and a rash of computer entries. Inflation is employed by governments to pay debts. If there's no debt, the main justification to inflate disappears. So our system is debt-driven and debt-dependent. You know, we've got counterfeiting issues, right? Everyone knows that counterfeiting is a crime. But it's a crime because it enables the counterfeiter to acquire goods with bogus currency. Fraudulent currency robs people of their store of value accumulated through their own individual productivity, which is a gift of God. If the counterfeiter isn't stopped, he will destroy the value of everyone's currency and steal all their productivity. Counterfeiting is such a horrific wrong that it's one of the few crimes, think about this, mentioned in the U.S. Constitution, see Article 1, Section 8, and then Paragraph 6 of the Constitution. A criminal who uses his printing press to print unbacked counterfeit bills says they shall be caught and put to death, or well prosecuted, and then the Coinage Act of 1792 says they shall be put to death. If printing unbacked bills that steal the people's wealth and water down the value of everyone's currency is wrong, then when an individual does it, how can it be right when, in other words, I'm sorry, if printing fake counterfeit bills is illegal for an individual, why is it okay when it's done by a government or by a government-created agency like the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation? How badly has the value of the nation's currency been eroded? In the 20s, a $20 bill could be exchanged for 1 ounce of gold, right? You probably all know that. That's what a $20 gold piece is like. I love them. You want an awesome investment? $20 gold pieces, get one. It's an ounce of gold antique. Right now, the premium on them is basically the same as a 1 ounce American gold eagle. Same with old silver dollars, things like that. If you're going to invest, get that. Get the old stuff that's trading near its bullion value. We call it semi-numismatic. It's the way to go. Paper dollars at the time, that again, the 20s, were trustworthy receipts for gold on deposit at the treasury, okay? That meant you got a piece of paper, it said there's X amount of gold or silver on deposit. You knew it was true. You knew it was right. You could walk right down, exchange it right now. So that's the way it was back then. But now it's, you know, it's just a private IOU from a private corporation. At the time, you know, it doesn't matter, but it takes, right now, gold's about $1,300 an ounce. So we've gone from 20 to 13, but we've been all the way to 2,000 in the last 5 years. In fact, the coin, which costs upwards of, say, $1,400 or whatever it is now, depends on the coin you buy, but the $20 gold piece that's running, say, $1,400 now is frequently labeled the $20 gold piece. So it seems as though the $20 has become $1,400. Not really, of course. The $20 in paper currency in the 20s had gold backing. The $1,400 in paper currency that circulates today exists without any backing. The dollar's value has been eroded by inflation. Once U.S. currency became separated from precious metals backing and inflation became policy, the number of dollars needed to purchase anything has soared. Okay? So we'll just leave it at that. It's pretty obvious where I'm going with this, right? You need precious metals-based assets. You need hard assets. You need to save in hard assets. It's what you need to do. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just where you need to go with it. And there's only one thing that's going to last. You can buy stocks and bonds and, oh, look at them soar. Look at them go up. Precious metals are going to hold tight. Now, folks, right now, yeah, they stay level and all that, you know, but they're maintaining their spending power. If you have an ounce of gold, you got an ounce of gold. Folks, I know there's so many people out there that are wealthy that listen and they're like, oh, you know, I got my broker and he's so smart and he does this. But you're really not doing that good. I mean, you might have your big ups and your big downs, but they're not even relative to what's going on. People are seeing their money grow and grow and grow. Precious metals are coming back fast and hard, and you better prepare yourself. Now, a real quick thing on Coins Plus. I don't know how much time I have, but I wanted to do I kind of did a thing, you know, why Coins Plus is, you know, I'll just say Coins Plus is not only, it's something we were writing up for a website thing. Coins Plus is not only a highly reputed national buyer of silver dollars, coins, collections, estates, and accumulations, as well as gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, collectible paper money, U.S. and world mint products, in addition to high volumes of scrap gold, jewelry, and quality diamond buyers, but we're also truly well-trained, experienced, and knowledgeable experts that provide the experienced and knowledgeable experts providing us the ability to utilize our expertise to pay you the most for your holdings. This is the buying side of us. Coins Plus is one of the select few dealers fully staffed with employees certified by the ANA, American Numismatic Association, in advanced coin grading and counterfeit detection. Coins Plus specializes in the handling of silver dollars and large original estates and accumulations. As a sister company of Coins Plus, Clock Tower Jewelry also offers extensive GIA knowledge, that's for diamonds, right? And experience in handling quality diamonds. As a high volume and low margin rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service, Coins Plus has bought and sold nearly $1 billion in coins, collections, estates, precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds over the previous 2+ decades. We offer our clientele extensive knowledge in every line of related collectibles, and most importantly, we're also very serious coin collectors, investors, and connoisseurs ourselves. What's important is we are the end users. We're not middlemen, as most dealers are. Most dealers buy to simply flip your coins to another dealer, which cuts into your bottom line. We sell to literally tens of thousands of our clients that we've developed over decades of trusted transactions. Coins Plus is a trusted investment and collection advisor, assisting our clients in wealth and capital preservation, as well as building hard asset 401ks and IRAs. Remember that. We will help you turn your 401k and IRA, you know, into hard assets. Now, right now, the value is there. Take advantage. Buy low, sell high. We operate from one of the nation's finest Custom-built, industry-specific facilities built with privacy and extreme security as the center point. Coins Plus also offers our clients one of the nation's highest-rated privately held depository services, offering truly unmatched and unimaginable levels of security, privacy, and confidentiality. I assure you that. We're a high-volume, low-margin broker, dealer, and depository service dedicated to honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. Coins Plus can be considered a combination of like Lloyd's of London in stability and reliability, combined with a Nordstrom's level commitment to customer service and quality interactions. Due to our highly capitalized position, in other words, we're well capitalized, we've got the money to buy what we need to and maintain a tremendous inventory, and extreme levels of expertise, Coins Plus possesses the knowledge and experience to handle transactions of any size or significance. Simply put, if you've been looking for an honest, seasoned, respected, and nationally reputable coin and bullion dealer to assist you in paying the most for your coins collections, gold, silver, and we even especially deal in scrap gold jewelry and quality diamonds, Coins Plus and Clock Tower Jewelry are your best choice nationally for liquidating these types of items. As countless customers have told us, we simply pay the most. We've heard that so many times, I could never count. I've heard so many stories of people shopping and coming to us and saying, wow, you guys are different. We're extremely knowledgeable of current market trends and conditions, as well as providing extensive knowledge and experience and an extensive clientele base to sell to. We, Coins Plus, has made it our priority to provide you with the number one source of buying and selling. Our employees' tenure ranges from 10 to 20 plus years, okay, period, of experience. And me, myself, the owner of Coins Plus since 96, has made it my number one priority to offer our clientele the nation's absolute best option for buying and selling your coins, collections, investments, etc. I'm out of time again. Go on Google, give us a 5-star review, call us, prove it, free silver dollar. Do three, go to Yelp and wherever else, Yahoo and Google, and get two brand new silver dollars. Give us a call. Talk soon. Take care. God bless. Love you. Bye-bye.